Well, good day, friends. It's so wonderful to be with you again today as you listen to the show, The Ministry and Me. And you're listening to Dr. Dion Foster. And what a joy it is to be with you again today as we consider ways in which you can use your whole life in order to honor and bless God. And you know, these little half-hour slots that we have once every 2 weeks are such a blessing to me because they're an opportunity to recognize that God has intended for us to find and use every opportunity that we have in our lives in order to bless Him. And I'm so glad that you've tuned in today, and I pray that as we share in this half hour together, that you're going to get just a few little nuggets, one or two insights here on Radio Pulpit, your companion in the search for meaning, that will enable you to serve God more fully, and in doing so, to find blessing and joy in every single thing that you do. Now, today I want to speak a little bit about something that is common to all of us, and that is the issue of belonging and loneliness. Now, let me ask you the question, have you ever been truly lonely? I'm sure that most of us have had to face loneliness at some time or another in life. As a child, perhaps, when your parent went away and you missed them, or perhaps as a husband or wife or brother and sister when the person whom you love desperately wasn't around. You know what I'm talking about? It's that that feeling right at the pit of your stomach when you know, gee, this person whom I truly long for is so far from me. And I'm sure that there are many people tuned in today who miss loved ones. Perhaps you have a son or daughter who's overseas in England, or someone whom you love who works far from home. Well, today I want to offer you a little bit of encouragement, and particularly to speak to those of us who are in ministry as to how we can meet this very important need of people all around us. There's a little book called All Together, in which primary school children try to solve some of the world's greatest problems. And if you can get hold of a copy of it, All Together, it's well worth reading. One of the problems that was posed to them, along with war and peace and poverty and global warming, you can imagine the answers to that, was this. The interviewer wrote this question for the children. She said, with billions of people in the world, someone should be able to figure out a system where no one is lonely. What would you suggest? And then recorded the responses of the children. Here are some of the suggestions. Kalani, aged 8, said the following. She said, people should find lonely people and ask them their name and address. Then ask people who aren't lonely for their name and address. And when you have an amount of each, assign a lonely and a not lonely person together in the newspaper. Kalani's quite clever, and she obviously has a gift for administration. Max, aged 9, said, make food that talks to you when you eat it. For instance, while you're eating, it would say, how you're doing and what happened to you today? And I want to ask, who will come to discover that food doesn't talk to you when you get to a certain age? I find my food talks back all the time. The only problem is, of course, it doesn't ask the kind of questions that stop me from being lonely. It just says, hey, Dion, you've eaten too much. Matt, aged 8, said this. We could get people a pet or a husband or a wife to take them places. You know, that kind of makes me wonder what Matt's picture of marriage is. But one of the most touching responses that came from a child that really just broke my heart came from Brian, aged 8, when he was asked, with billions of people in the world, someone should be able to figure out a system where no one is lonely. What would you suggest? He said this, sing a song, stomp your feet, or read a book. And then he put a few dots and said, sometimes I think no one loves me, so I do one of these. How incredibly sad, friends, that a child of 8 should feel unloved, alone, and uncared for. And that makes me ask that pertinent question even more astutely. God would ask, with billions of people in the world, surely someone should be able to figure out a system where no one is lonely. Now, if loneliness is common in women, let me tell you that it is a huge epidemic in men. A recent survey in America quoted in John Ortberg's book suggested that 90% of American men lack a true friend. You know, I would venture that in South Africa it's not far off. I went to a children's birthday party over this weekend, and in the afternoon, I was observing a conversation between a few men who were standing there. You know what the thing that I realized? The conversation was either silent, it was either stunted, or it was shallow. Edward Hallowell's sociological research indicates that for modern people, two of the most desired and significant experiences are to find happiness in life and the achievement of truly connecting with others. And I think men sometimes struggle to connect because we haven't been taught those kind of emotions that connect us with others. Now, connecting obviously has to do with our relational world. And what could be better for relating than a community in the church? Our sense of belonging, our opportunity to know love, to form loving, trusting, nurturing, and secure relationships, to care for others and to be cared for when we need it, to being affirmed when we're insecure. You know, the other thing that Ortberg's book suggests is that other than connecting, people want an opportunity to achieve. And this obviously has to do with accomplishments. It has to do with the things that we do, with winning contests, with driving nice cars, with having a big title, and with pursuing a career or a difficult role. Ortberg notes that our society has become so obsessed with achieving, so devoted to success, so hung up on our accomplishments, that we forgot the need to relate. Now, one of the guys I was with was willing to speak of their relationship. None of the guys, sorry, that I was with was willing to speak of their relationships with their children and their wives. In fact, the interesting thing I noticed at this little children's party was that some of them were quite rude and dismissive, singing their own praises about their conquests at work and sport and personal wealth, but none of them seemed to enjoy or revel in being a father. You know, a number of years ago, my dad had a serious stroke and he was paralyzed on the left-hand side. And it was amazing how suddenly something like this, when it happens to you, comes to show you that even your greatest achievements in life, even though my dad was a wonderfully successful accountant and businessman, the moment he had the stroke, the thing he needed more than anything else was relationships. He needed acceptance, he needed love, he needed a place of nurture and belonging. Mother Teresa once commented that loneliness is the leprosy of modern society. Isn't that so true? Loneliness is the leprosy of modern society. You see, people can even be in a crowd and be lonely. Not only do we avoid loneliness, but we also tend to isolate those who are lonely. Have you ever noticed that? Much like lepers, we keep our distance in the fear that we might be infected or overcome with their loneliness. I sometimes wonder how God must feel seeing so many lonely people in the world and so many believers like you and me just around the corner, living on the same street as a woman who's lost her husband and just longs to have an ear to listen. You see, it brings us back to the question. With billions of people in the world, someone should be able to figure out a system where no one is lonely. You know, I want to venture that as you listen to this program today, within just a few meters of where you are, there is someone who is lonely. In your office, on the street block in where you live, maybe in the classroom in which you're studying, there is someone who is lonely, and God has a will and a plan to reach them. Now, let's ask a few questions. The first question I want to ask is, why is it that we are so lonely? Well, as we've already said, there is no doubt that all of us struggle with a sense of disconnection and emptiness that we call being lonely. But what is it that causes this sense of disconnection? Well, there are many things that can cause this feeling in reality, and let's just take a look at a few of the more common ones that I've been able to identify. The first thing that I believe causes it in modern society is pressure and activity. There's absolutely no doubt that many of us who are listening to this program today or have been lonely have been so because we've been overcome by busyness and activity. You know, we are so overwhelmed by what we do that we forget that we need to set up a healthy balance between being and doing. Isn't it interesting to note that in modern culture we tend to identify ourselves more with what we do? You know, as I stood around the braai at this children's party, the very first question that the men asked one another there is, what do you do? However, so much of our biblical identity is tied up not in what we do, but in who we are and in who God is. And I constantly need to be reminded that God created me with a purpose and that God is much more concerned with who I am than what I do. You see, the reality is for me, for Dion, what I do will eventually pass away. That will eventually die. But the eternal thing that will live on with God is who I am. I love the way the psalmist expresses this idea when he says, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for God grants rest to those whom he loves. Now, I'm not saying that activity is a bad thing, but I'm saying that activity must flow out of our primary identity of who we are. And let's be careful that we don't become so distracted by busyness that we're running away from facing who we truly are. When last did you take some time to just consider, who am I? Who am I as a person? Who am I for my family? Who am I for my friends and for this community? A second common cause of alienation and loneliness is estrangement. You know, this is another common cause for people who are lonely. And I don't want to talk about this too much this week, but I've talked about this quite a few times in some of my previous programs. Some of us have a feeling that we simply don't fit in, that we don't belong, that when we look at others, we must be so unique and different that they could never relate to us. And so we begin to feel alienated, which causes loneliness. Have you ever had to spend a day with someone who you don't really know that well? You know, I remember a number of years ago having to spend a whole day and a night with one of the bishops from our church. And I was in awe of this man. I thought he was too holy, too good. And who was I to be in his presence? You know that I felt very lonely, even though the two of us shared a room, because I didn't have anything to talk about. I found it difficult to relate to him. And I think sometimes we can feel that way with whole groups of people, or even with periods of time in our life. I've heard so many young mothers saying that they struggle to identify with their infant children, or that they struggle to identify with being a stay-at-home mom when they've worked for their whole lives. Well, friends, I want to encourage you to remember in these times and with these people the wonderful words of Jesus, who said, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Listen to this. Jesus says, instead, I call you friends. You did not choose me, I chose you, and this is my command. Love one another. You see, love has the capacity to overcome alienation and difference. So, I think one of the common causes of our loneliness is busyness and activity, but a second one is alienation and estrangement. A third cause, I think, which I see in myself and in many other people, is fear and self-esteem. This is the last of the major emotions and feelings that I believe causes loneliness. You know, I've encountered so many people who are afraid to reach out, afraid to risk, afraid to seek a relationship. They're a little bit like the porcupine who really loves his mate and wants to dance with her, but those prickles are put out so hard that he simply can't get close. You know, John's first letter expresses this so nicely when he says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. So, friends, if we want to find out what it means to be in relationship with others and not to be lonely, we need to understand that we are created in the image of God, and that part of our very being, our makeup, is to be in relationship, and that we will never be content and happy and at peace until we find a way to overcome our busyness, to overcome our alienation, and to draw in our spines, our porcupine spines, so that we can be vulnerable and open up to others. Did you notice that God says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, the very first thing that God says is not good is God says it is not good for humans to be alone. And friends, I want to say to you that if you're alone at this point in life, God desires for you to belong to a community. And I want to say to the pastors and ministers in our midst, not only does God desire for people to belong to communities, but God is calling us in our ministry to create places where people can truly belong. Places where they can experience grace and blessing. Places where we can facilitate relationships of wholeness, accountability, and joy. When last did you think about something that you can do just to draw people in? Not a program, not a teaching series, but just a place where people can connect. You see, God has a will for all those lonely people who live in your community. God has a will for the lonely person who works in your office. God has a will for the lonely child who is all alone at school. And God is calling you to make a difference. What can you do to overcome it? Well, that leads me to the second answer to our question, or the second question that I want to ask today is, what is God's answer to loneliness? So if we're not meant to be alone, and even less to be lonely, then we need to ask the question again. With billions of people in the world, someone should be able to figure out a system so that no one is lonely. Well, the good news is, my friends, that someone has, and that someone is God. It's God who shows us the solution to the struggle of loneliness, a God that is loving, accepting, embracing, a God who is community, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the great news for today is, not only can we offer a place where you can find true connection, but we can also offer that opportunity as a blessing to others. And the place I'm talking about today is your local church. You see, this is a community in which we are meant to reflect what God wants to see done in the whole world. Pastors and ministers and priests and church leaders, listen to me today. God wants us to model for the whole world a community where there is grace, acceptance, blessing, and joy. In John chapter 3, verse 16, in the Message translation, it says, "This is how much God loved the world. He gave His Son, His one and only Son, and this is why, so that no one needs to be destroyed. Rather, by believing in Him, everyone can have whole and lasting life." You see, we can look to God for the answer to loneliness. Firstly, God is a community that loves. This is how much God loved the world. What is the expression of your love? Remember, in true community, love is costly. Love is a verb. It is something that we do. And I want a challenge to ask you, when last did you emulate the love of God by loving someone else? Secondly, not only does God give us the example of a community that loves, but God also gives us a community that is gracious. It says, God gave us His Son, His one and only Son. You know, friends, that is the most courageous thing that anyone could ever do. Could you imagine offering up something so costly that others could be blessed? The life of God is a life of self-giving and a life of giving and receiving love. That's what Miroslav Volf says, the systematic theologian. He said, the life of God is a life of self-giving and of other receiving love. Truly loving and truly being in community is a risk. You know, it takes courage. It takes courage to come from the sidelines and move to the center, where we express blessing, where we get involved, we get our hands dirty, where we try and find ways to bless others and to share with them in their lives so that we are not lonely and they're not lonely. It takes courage to move from activity to connection. It takes courage to overcome our fears that others may not like us and that they may be different. It takes courage to connect with people. Thank goodness God overcame all of that and became one of us. When last did you do that in your life and in your ministry? Finally, this community is not only a loving community and a courageous community, it is a community in which no one is destroyed. The Message tells us that God gave His only Son that no one need be destroyed, that everyone can have eternal life. Really? You know, one of the saddest things in modern churches is that we've become exclusive. We exclude all kinds of people. We exclude people who are too old or too young. We exclude people who talk differently. We exclude people who dress differently. You know, I find so many people who just find it difficult to fit into the church because we've become so exclusive. You know, this is an incredibly challenging thing. I wonder what God thinks about the church when he looks at it and sees that certain kinds of people are not welcome. Whether they're people of a certain race, a certain gender, or even people of a certain sexual orientation, how does God feel when any one such person is not welcomed? Now, I'm not talking about welcoming sin, but I'm saying every sinner, like you and like me, should belong freely to the church of Jesus Christ. So friends, here's the challenge that I want to leave with you today. The reality is that we are surrounded by lonely people. People who try and distract themselves with busyness and activity. People who don't understand why it is they feel that emptiness and loss. But God is calling us to make a difference. With billions of people in the world, someone should create a system where no one is lonely. You know what the good news is? You can start today. Remember the promise of God. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his only son, his one and only son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. Oh, my friends, how I wish today you would be encouraged and blessed to bring others into the community of Christ. How I wish that you would just cross the floor, just walk up to that person who you can see is lonely and reach out to them and bless them and love them the way that God would. How I wish you would pick up the phone or pick up the pen and just make that call today. Well, friends, you've been listening to the program, The Ministry and Me, and I've been rejoicing to share with you in this last half hour. It's always wonderful to hear from folks who email and send through messages, and you're welcome to contact me. You can do so via email. That's the easiest way. My email address is digitaldion@gmail.com. That's digitaldion@gmail.com. And I look forward to hearing from you, and I'll gladly respond to your emails, join you in prayer, and rejoice at what God is doing in your life and ministry. Remember, God wants to use all of who you are and all of whom you, everything you do, in order to bring him blessing and to achieve his will in the world. Thanks for listening in today. Have a wonderful and blessed week. Goodbye.